Good morning. Good to see you. Aren't you glad that there's no limit to what God can do in our lives? I'm thankful of that. I am so thankful. We limit ourselves quite often, but there's no limit on Him. And praise the Lord. What a hope that is today. I hope that encourages you. I tell you what, I can honestly, to goodness, walk out of here right now and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. That song blessed my heart in such a way right there. It is no secret what God can do. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for Your goodness and Your many wonderful blessings. And Father, we're so thankful of who You are. Lord, that we're so thankful of what You've done, but that's not, Lord, it's who You are, not what You have done for us. And You're our Savior, our Messiah, our friend. You're my Jesus, and I thank You. And Lord, we just pray You'll meet our needs today, and we'll go away encouraged, we'll go away changed, different than we was when we came in. We invite You to be in complete control of this service. Lord, may we step aside, allow You to bring glory and honor to Your precious holy name. Lord, You're invited. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Preacher, don't make habits of telling fibs, but I've been telling you one. The Appalachian Association is not tomorrow night. It's next Monday evening. It's the 21st. So remember, the Appalachian Association meeting will be on the 21st at First Free Will in Johnson City. Remember that, but we will be having a board meeting this evening, Lord's will. Remember that, and our quarterly business meeting will be Wednesday. So remember this, but next Sunday evening is our PM communion and foot washing. And I'd like to invite you, if some's never participated in one, and it's an experience, it's a humbling experience, and I thank the Lord for foot washing, and as much I always love the communion service, but would like you to encourage you to come and take part of that also. So remember, in our bulletin is a note for we're going to be opening. I don't have a date yet, but we're going to be opening the doors for church membership in a few weeks. So I encourage you to pray about that, think about that, what the Lord would have you to do. We would, if you're not a member, you're welcome. We love you, but we'd like for you to be a member of our church with us. And then anybody or any needs of baptism, we will start the new year out right, take care of some things. So anything that concerning those things, just let me know. Any other announcements?
I just wanted to mention again, we're going to have a discussion on taking the pine trees off the bank out here. Anybody wants to get in on that discussion, it may come up, it may possibly come up as a point on our business.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Brother Gary. Thank you. All right. We won't go to the Lord in prayer this morning, remembering all of our requests in our bulletin, and we'll take any spoken request you may have.
Amen.
Adam and his family. Yes. Yes. That's an announcement I did miss. Marshall Street, this is Brother Coy's brother-in-law, and he had passed away, and they're going to receive friends from 1 to 3, and the funeral will be at 3 at Henline Hughes in Bakersville today. So remember the family of Marshall Street. Okay. Remember Sister Edna. We'll pray for you. Oh, okay. Anyone else? Let's remember Sister Kathy. Somebody's got an unspoken this morning. Lord knows all about them. Amen. All that will, let's come and gather around the altar this morning. All that'll come, let a request be made known unto the Lord. Brother Jim Hill, would you lead us as we pray?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning.
Yes, Father, as we come to you, Lord, thank you for this coming this day. Thank you for all the blessings. Lord, thank you for all that you've given me through your sweet spirit.
We thank you for the blessings.
Lord, that what a blessing that is. Lord, what a truth to be sown. It's no secret. Lord, we just so thankful that we can come to you. It's not a secret. Lord, that we'll never bring nothing before you, God. It's impossible. It may seem impossible for us, God, if we don't realize and understand. Father, with you, thank God, that you do know what's best. Lord, help us to be able to come to you and bring your petitions and let you give it to you, truly that you have. Father, encourage your hearts. Help us, Lord, and we pray, God, for your touch. Lord, we pray for every request that's mentioned this morning. I pray for all the sick, the afflicted, all the procedures, the different things that you've done. Lord, you just move and guide and help us in everything we do. God, you just touch and lead us. Lord, we pray for over this service. I pray over this message, God. I feel like you laid on my heart and stirred my heart. Father, that you would just encourage us this morning. Encourage your hearts and challenge us. Lord, we go away with a greater desire to serve you, a greater desire to worship you. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, touch and bless this nation. I pray for the Street family. God, you be with them today and the ones who left in the service. Lord, I pray for the Corey and Carol and all of them. Lord, we lift up Miss Adam.
that in my soul, it's wonderful.
Glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. If our ushers will come, we'll receive a morning tithe and offering. Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing, please?
Lord, we just thank you here for another day and place to be. How have you been to us again, Lord? Lord, we just pray you be with the service today. Lord, just want to bring this message, Lord. Just touch in and move this off. Let your name be up here for you. Lord, we pray you bless us once so we give you more today.
Amen.
before we do the choir this morning, we're going to do another congregational. We'll do something a little different. I know it confuses everybody to do this, but what's what we're going to do? Let's all stand and turn to page 599. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then let light from heaven fill my soul. It made my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer wheel turning, know a little fire is burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. Mist of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, and just a little talk with Jesus clears away. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayer wheel turning, know a little fire is burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayer wheel turning, know a little fire is burning, find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
The congregation may be seated.
Let's do page 36 and 37.
Gary, have you been to my Bible and looked at my notes? Amen. Amen. That's what I was, just what I thought. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything on your hearts this morning? You're doing good, then. Yeah. Upon the name of the Lord, you enter a battle, and you'll be in that struggle till the day that you lay it down. And that's spiritual warfare, brother. That's we're in one every day. And if you're not having the problems that you're having, you better start praying. Amen. Because we've got an enemy, and he sure don't rest. He sure fights us. Anyone else? Thankful you all tolerate him. Now I thank you again that I'm so thankful, because most of y'all know I'm not your normal preacher, and I thank God I don't have to be, that I can be myself here, and you all have accepted me just like I am, knots and all. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for that. How many of y'all have ever run out of gas? Some time or the other, most of us. I have. And what's amazing today, that we have so many things that tells us that people still run out of gas. I might get in trouble. I'll probably have to buy lunch today anyway. Rhonda does not even think about gas till that light comes on and it's buzzing. And then it's, I've got 50 miles. And one day, honest to goodness, she pushed it so far that it was down to 0 miles when she got to the gas station. When she got to work, yes. So, but thinking about the running out of gas, and we sure don't want to run out of gas in the gas tank of the car. Now, I tell one on myself, I ran a tractor out of fuel the other night and in a pouring rain. Now, that Gary's shaking his head. That's a whole lot worse than running out of gas. Because when the diesel runs out, it's a bad deal. But anyway, we try to be sure that we don't inconvenience ourselves. We set on the side of the highway, the gas, but a lot of times we'll let our spiritual country. If we're not real careful, we'll run out. And we'll run out of what it is that makes us who we are as Christians. And if you will, turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 25. And this message, of course, I've been preaching through the parables, and I was driving down the road the other day, and I just got to thinking of a thought. This passage come to mind. I had not had this one. It's way out of order of the list I give out, but God started stirring my heart with this message, and he asked me a question, and I was going to wait to the end of the message to bring this question up, but the thought came to my mind: what happened to the 5 virgins that ran out of oil? I know the Bible said they didn't get to go in. But I was trying to think in traditional and things of what would have been the ramification, what would have been the problem, what would have happened to those 5 that didn't get to go in. Other than just the embarrassment of not getting to go in and running out. And the Lord gave me the answer out of Scripture. So I've got the answer, but you'll have to wait till the end of the message. And if that's tonight, you'll just have to come back. If you would, stand with me, and let's start at verse 25. And this is a story we've all heard hundreds of times, probably read it many times. Then shall the kingdom of heaven, of course we're in the, still on the kingdom of heaven, and the parables, be likened unto 10 virgins. Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered and said, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let's pray.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, that you move in our lives. And we thank you, God, you have made it possible that every one of us could go to heaven. And Lord, that according to this passage, 10 thought that they were ready for the wedding. They were ready for the bridegroom to come. But only half was. Lord, and you know our hearts, and you know us today as you look upon this congregation. What percentage of us is ready for your return today? Is it half? Is it less? Is it more? And Lord, we ask you to look and not only look upon us and you know who we are. I pray that you'll help us to understand who we are and where we are today. And Lord, that is at the end of this service, we'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt where we stand in the eyes of eternity. Because we know that you could come before this service is over with. And Lord, that I think so often that you have waited, we in our minds, just like the virgins will, you have waited so long that we think that it's just going to be a lot longer. And we've got plenty of time. It's more than a coincidence, Father, that I believe with my whole heart that you give Gary the songs that you did this morning and the message you laid upon my heart earlier in the week. God, we pray and ask you for the Holy Spirit, the preacher, to come and preach to us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus often used Jewish weddings and the feast to make his point, to get his teaching points, to get it across. And he also used here in this parable the wedding feast of the virgins. And this was, the wedding was different. They would be betrothed and then the groom would come back and he would go away and prepare a place or get somewhere ready. Most time he didn't have enough money to build his own house, but he would build a place in his daddy's house. And he would come and he would go away and prepare, and then he would come and then the wedding would, all the wedding, big, it's a big festival, it lasted, and he would come to the bride's home where she is, and they'd be a big group gathered together, and then they'd leave there, and they'd go to the house where that they were going to, whether it would be his relative's house, or whether it would be a house he had built, whichever they would go, and they would be a seven-day feast, and man, oh, it would be something tremendous. And these virgins here is lacking. If the crowd is, and he would come and make his way, they would be, all the people would get their lamps out, and they would come and actually read some stories of some missionaries that experienced this in some other countries that did things similar, and it's a tremendous thing, a big group, and they all had their lamps, and they all was going, and when the midnight cry would come, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and they would all get their lamps up and be ready to go. And as he, and one missionary talked about that he was, I forget what part of the world he was in, but they did this, and then they were so excited, they wanted to go into the wedding, and they didn't have the proper things to get in. And they said, no, you can't come in. He said that passage come to him more real. No, you can't get in. And this is what the story is talking about. These virgins and these folks that they would trim their lamps, and five of them thought or was ready. Five thought they were, but they weren't. The wise was prepared. The wise was ready for his coming, but the unwise was not. And as we look at, and according to the Bible, half did not make it. If we look through the churches today and this congregation and others, and boy, I sure hope that's not the case, but no possibility, half of our people that thinks they're going is not going to make it. You talk talking about a shock. They were shocked when the cry come out. One day, I tell you, we've heard it and heard it and heard it, and people have got used to it and don't believe it, but he's coming back again. And we better not be doing things that we don't want to be doing when he comes. It's important that we're prepared not only for his return, but we may go by the way of death before his return. I want to look at these two groups, the wise and the unwise. First, in verses 1 through 4, we see that then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto them virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. See, the wise, these were the virgins, were prepared. They made all the proper things to do to be ready for this time. They knew it was coming. They knew they'd been told the bridegroom was on his way, that he'd be back shortly. He tarried longer than a lot of them thought he would. See, there's where our patience, impatience gets ahead of us. And then what happens is another parable, it talks about, well, he's tired, he's coming, so they start getting drunk, they start beating the servants, and they go off. These were prepared. Amen. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, I want you to get this, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and thinks about it, and doeth it. It's like the wise man that built his house upon the rock. See, he did not give us the Bible just so we could look Christian. They say in some Bible colleges, now I don't know, I've never been there, but they say in some Bible colleges they teach young preachers how to hold the Bible. When you go up, you put it in a certain way. And I'd fail that test right off the bat. But it don't matter how we look with them. It's what we do with them. And how that we try to pattern our life after it. See, it's not given as a suggestion. And I'm convinced that in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, and as when the judgment comes, and we're standing but the white throne judgment, and to stand before God Almighty to be judged, the Bible says, and the books were opened. Now I know there's several books, but I'm convinced, lock, stock, and barrel, that when we stand before God, that we'll be judged out of what's written in this book. If we were going to play a game today, and I was going to introduce you to a new game, and one thing you'd want to know is, what's the rules? And I'm going to ask Becca. Becca was training us a new game. They come up with games all the time. And Rhonda said, what's the object of this game? Now Becca being Becca said, to win. She said to win. That was the object of the game. But the object of game of life, as you might say, is that we obey the word of God. It's not just given to us. I'm telling you that we're going to stand before God and give an account of what we know. It don't matter how good we look on Sunday morning, how many services we attend, how much money we throw in the offering plate, what we've done, how much money we give to the poor, how much money we give to missions. All of that's good. That's being obedient to God's word. But I'm telling you that if without the blood of Jesus Christ upon our life and us being in his will, that we could wind up short and no more. See, the wise ones
put God's word into practice. Now, this is not popular preaching. I'm not just saying nothing because I'm preaching it. This is not popular preaching today. People don't want to take the word of God as the authority. We don't want a pure, clean line, white and black. We like a shade, a gray shade. Well, you might interpret it this way, and I interpret it this way. It don't matter. Right here's the interpretation. God's word has said it, and that settles it. I've heard it through years. God's word says it. I believe it, and that settles it. God's word said it, and that settles it. It don't matter if I believe it or not. His word will stand forever. Forever thy word shall be in heaven. It's the everything. It's what we line up by. It's what we go by. It's our roadmap, our book that'll get us there, our do's and don'ts. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to anyway. Why don't we know it better than we do? Now, if I'm going somewhere that I don't know, I'll Google it. I'll print off a map. I used to have maps, big map everywhere we went. We kept one in the car, but Google took care of that, didn't it? Now have a Google map. We are sure that we know how to get there, where the gas stations are. We want everything and be prepared when we set out on a trip. It'd be crazy not to. We are on a trip, folks. And this thing's winding down. And Jesus is coming back. And we better be prepared. Being prepared means settled for the long haul. Boy, I'm in a whole heap of trouble. I was really wanting to get this message through. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." There is what these wise virgins were. They were settled in their mind. They were settled in their heart. They knew what they had to do, and they did it. Here, the apostle is saying, I know whom I have believed. I know where my faith is. I know that it's in Jesus Christ. I know it's in His holy word, and it's doing His will. And I tell you that it's more than just saying, I have made a profession of faith. It's doing and finding out God's will out of His word. The Bible says He's coming back to get the one that's doing the Father's will. See, it's easy to make a profession. It's easy to put her name on the roll. It's easy to become a member of the church. It's easy to do a lot of these things. But I tell you, it's not as easy to get up and live it Monday morning. Amen. And Monday mornings is the important morning. Because that's, guess what that is? That's when you get to preach. You listen to me today, I'm doing the preaching. In the morning, you're doing the preaching. Amen? And that is, if we've got the word down, that we're living by the word. Now, preacher, you're talking about works. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works as any man should boast. It's a gift of God. But then we need to read verse 10. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, but then verse 10 comes that says that we are His workmanship, created unto good works.
We're saved by grace through faith, but it don't stop there. See, we think we get the ticket. Woo, glory! I've got the ticket. Acts 4:2. If you're going to date, you've got to take a fit.
Amen.
You two with me. Praise the Lord. See, all of the brides, the virgins here, had lamps. Every one of them. They were all professors. That all made the decision. They all said, I'm following Jesus. But they all didn't even come in. They say 1.5 to 3 million left Egypt going to the promised land. Could have been 3, 4.5 million, according to how many kids it was. But it counted like 1 million, and at least 1 million, 1.5 million, something like that. Left out, heading to the promised land. Who wants to go down with me and tell me how many of them made it? What's quite a church message here? They were the two that stood up when the other side said, we can't make it. And everybody believed them. These two said, we can't. We've got God on our side. Yeah, they're big. Yeah, they love it. But look at the grace we brought back. We can do it. Two, maybe a million and a half. At least a million and a half. Woo! It's getting sober now. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty now, isn't it? I tell you, it could come any day, and it's not a game that we play. It's not something that we just done one time, and that's it. It's important that we get busy about the things of God.
Amen.
That we pray like we've never prayed. That we read the Bible like we've never prayed. That we fast like we've never prayed. Because you are in an enemy, and Brother Ralph brought it up, you are in a battle with an enemy that shoots real bullets. And there is a lot of casualties. And he has no mercy. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to fast and pray as much as he did, how much more do we need to? Luke 12:35 says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burn. What's that mean? That means be ready. Be prepared. Ready to go.
Amen.
I tell you, we went through the book of Nehemiah. And I like one time that the battle got so strong, and it got so bad that the half of them would guard while the other half worked. And then they'd take and sweep around, and the other half would work while that half guarded. And it was so bad that the battle was so strong that they worked and they were laying brick with one hand and they had their weapons in the other hand. You talking about warfare. You talking about a picture of spiritual warfare. And today, we better be the same way. We better have the Word of God, our sword. We better have all of the equipment that goes with it and keep on working on our hands to the gospel plow and our eyes to the sky. Because did you get the gist of the songs that were sung this morning? Man, I can feel the Holy Spirit in him sing. That's Holy Ghost led right there. Gary's just up there swinging his hands. Holy Ghost leading that choir. Do you think that's a coincidence that Gary just woke up and thought about them, and I just happened to think about
about this message? If the God of the universe orchestrated this, what do you think he's trying to tell us? Oh, you're good. Just keep on trucking. We better get serious about some things. We better get some things in order. We better be prepared. We better have the oil. In verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Boy, and I'm telling you what, I could hook in right here and preach a long time. Did you get that? Not just the unwise, but the whole church was sleeping. And slum. That's where we are. I'm afraid that's describing the church of 2019. The slumber and slept. The whole bunch did. Well, he's not coming back for you anytime soon. Woo! We forget it. They was looking for him since as soon as he went away. You remember the angels said, why are you standing here gazing into the heaven? This same Jesus that went away is going to come again in that manner. And you get back to Jerusalem and get to work. Amen. That's a little bit of redneck talking with that the interpretation down on the river. He's telling us the same thing. What? Are you slumbering? What? Are you sleeping? What? Are you taking this stuff serious? What are these other things more important than the work of God and the condition of your soul and the condition of the souls in your families? Because I am here to tell you, if you've got a loved one that ain't in where they ought to be, that don't have the all, and is not in where the right relationship with God, they could be snuffed out in a second.
Amen. That's right.
See, it's serious business, churches. We are the church of the living God. We have been bought with Christ. We have been purchased the redemption of our souls by the Son of God Almighty Himself. See, and we have been told, and we have been trained, and the devil has messed their ears that we say, praise the Lord, I'm in, everything's okay, and I'm going my way to heaven. And we have been lulled to sleep. It's serious. Because one day the cry is going to go out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we which are alive and remain will be called up to meet him in the act. Whichever crowd we're in, the first ones that come up or the ones that's alive, whichever, it's all the same. When he comes, the door is shut. And you can't go back through that door. When the ark was shut, it was shut. I'm afraid what is today, there was a preacher said one time, said his church was going to be the first to go up in the rapture. Another preacher said, what in the world are you talking about? He said, well, the Bible said dead in Christ will rise first. I'm afraid as a church, that's where we are. With the spiritual things of God don't hold the importance as the physical does to us. Can I get amen right there?
Amen.
We want to be sure we've got all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted when it comes to physical matters. But when it comes to spiritual matters, well, preacher, let's not get too carried away. Let's be stay dignified. I tell you what, dignity is out the window with me. I don't care how undignified I am. I want to be the one who's got the oil in my lamp. And I want the congregation that I've been set over to be the under shepherd. I want your lamps full of oil. I don't care if you eat preacher on the way home and say, you see how red his face got and how goofy he looked and how he acted. That don't matter to the hell of beans to me. All that matters when you go out, you're walking like Jesus wants you to. See, the behavior and the actions of the lifestyle of the wise virgins was seen. In the book of Revelation, it just goes right with it, 14:4. They said, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits of God and to the Lamb. That's the crowd I want to be in.
Amen.
That's the group I want to be in. I want to be chaste before God. I want to be pure before God. I want to be all my allegiance to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
Amen.
To my Savior that gave himself on Mount Calvary and then took his life back up 3 days later. I ain't worried about one that there's a grave somewhere that holds the bones. I want the one where it's empty. Praise the Lord. See, these virgins were permitted into the party. These were the ones that when the cry came out, the guy at the door said, enter in, thou good and faithful. Thou's been faithful over a few things. Come and I'll make you ruler over me. And now that's the words I long to hear right there. I want to be faithful. I want to endure to the end. I want to go down fire. Now it don't matter. I don't preach politics. But there was one of our former presidents, and they said he had got shot down, that he was a pilot in World War II, I think. And he'd been shot down and they rescued him. When they rescued him, he had one arm around the life raft, and in his other hand, when they dug him up out of the water, had his .38 revolver. There's a soldier. There's a soul. You might say, you might get me, but I'm taking five of them with me. There's a soul. That's where I want him. That's where I want you. Like for it to be said, when I'm dead and gone, I wasn't perfect. Sure tried. He trusted Jesus to the end. He tried to allow Jesus to work and move the ministry. He believed the Bible and tried his best. His heart, he tried his best to live. Amen. That's what I want to be. Faith. With the oil prepared. I may not make it back this evening. It may be it. I don't know. I won't be prepared for you. You may not. Your number may be called. This may be the last opportunity you ever set in the congregation. Last opportunity the Holy Spirit has to deal with you. the last time you'll ever hear the gospel. Let me ask you in closing. You'll have to come back and get to answer the question. Let me ask you. Are you prepared? I'm not saying, have you come to the altar? Are you a member? Have you ever called it? I'm saying, where are you right now? Do you have the oil? Which five are we in? Let's pray. Father, as we come to you again, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Father, for this message upon our hearts that you are dealing with us today. Lord, we realize that God, that when we call upon you, and that your salvation is sure, and we have no doubt about you whatsoever. Lord, it's where are we this morning? Have we let the oil run out of our lamps? Help us to live our lives in a way that we would want to be caught living when you come. Father, I pray for each one. Pray for this, the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon this service. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. I'll stand and turn to page 265.
Do you need to come this morning? Church. I'm saying, are you prepared to meet God?
somebody may not want that. Because this has been for the good ones. Ain't even got on the unwise ones yet.
Amen. Praise the Lord. They got halfway through.
Sober in thought. It's all hearts and minds clear.
Pray for me here.
Street family. Board meeting at 5.
It's all hearts and minds clear.
It's sure been good to be with you.
Amen.
Been good to be in the house of the Lord. Brother Richard, your throat good enough? Could you dismiss me?